morning and happy Saturday to you. Welcome to A Balanced Life on WFYL 1180 AM. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner of MFB Wealth Management. The initials MFB stand for my father's business and refers to Luke 2:49, when Jesus says, I must be about my father's business. And I'm blessed to be your host for today. My focus for The Balanced Life typically focuses on entrepreneurs and business owners. And I'm very excited to once again have Michael Considine as a returning guest with us. Michael, you've been on The Balanced Life before, and Michael is an attorney with many interests. He has offices in Philadelphia and Colorado. Michael, welcome back to The Balanced Life.
Good morning, Doug. I hope you're well.
I am doing well and quite blessed. Thank you. Michael, can you share what's new with you, how you've seen God at work since we spoke last month?
Well, yeah, I have, because I had some surgery on my leg, and I can see that he's healing it a little bit more each day. And so that's a small thing. But I wanted to revisit the topic of joy, but also dealing with joy when life is just an ordinary day, when maybe people aren't nice, bad things have happened, or you have unmet needs. Because it's easy to talk about joy when you're having those, you know, peak mountain moments and everything is just wonderful. And you know, I'm thankful for that. But that's not every day. Every day is dealing with, you know, things such as I discussed. So I want to just talk about the issue of having the joy even under those circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about this. It's been 10 years ago now that the movie called The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith came out. And July 4th is just a couple of days away. And the Declaration of Independence states that these three things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, are inalienable rights. And people want to be happy, but is being happy the same thing as having joy?
You know, I don't think it is, because the problem with happiness is that you're going to live a roller coaster life, because we're just not going to have the peak of happiness every day. And we're going to meet some real challenges. That's just being realistic.
It's true. And I think what you're hinting at here is joy is there in the difficult times. It might be below the surface, but it can be there. And I said, people want to be happy. Marketers are always saying, you know, you buy this, you're going to be happy. You do this, you're going to be happy. And people are trying to live in that moment of happiness. But joy lasts longer than the moment, right?
Yeah, it is something that is not based on immediate circumstances.
Right. Yeah. So much of our culture is looking for the experience of the day. Of not looking towards the future, to where we're going to end up, all those factors, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die kind of mentality. And that's nothing new.
Yeah.
So what have you seen over the years as you've read the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about joy?
Well, you know, there's literally dozens of scriptures on joy, so I can only highlight a few. But I think joy is based on things that are more permanent than temporary. And the joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
So as we are led by the Spirit, the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or daughters of God. It says in the book of Romans. That means that if we're being led by the Spirit and seeking to be filled by the Spirit, that one of the effects will be joy. And that's just not joy going into us, it's joy coming out of us, because there's a flow to it.
Yep.
That it's not just for me, it's also to go bless other people.
Absolutely. I want to be around people that have joy in their lives. I mean, that's contagious, right?
Yes. And if you've ever been around people that are the corollary, that are constantly complaining,
right,
or constantly, you know, whatever, after a while, it gets difficult to be around them.
Yes, it does. It does. And it feeds on itself. Just as I think a positive and joyful attitude can feed on itself and give you that outlook. You know, I never thought about that before. And I thank you so much for pointing that out about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a second one right there. And a lot of people think about love in the Bible and God of love and those things. But joy, joy.
But let's look too at our areas of biggest struggle, because now some people are, you know, really struggling. People with severe pain, or people that maybe are going through this real trial, or they've lost a loved one, or maybe been rejected by friends, or they're drug addicts or whatever. But I want to speak to the audience out there and say, what is your biggest struggle? And what beautiful lesson is God teaching you through this? Because you see, this is the perspective we're to have. So for me, having unsaved family members who are not interested, it's not something that, you know, I would relish. Or, you know, if I've maybe led someone to the Lord and then I find that they're not interested anymore and you can't follow them up, or when I've blown it.
Yes.
Or when I'm experiencing persecution or rejection, I'll have a client that doesn't follow my recommendation, and then I see something pretty bad happen. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Yes.
Or I'll have a judge that doesn't follow the law, or maybe people that I see regularly that just, despite your efforts to be friendly to them, aren't friendly back. I mean, these are normal kinds of struggles, but this is real life.
It is real life.
And with each of us, we can probably identify 5 or 6 areas where we would like things to change in our life, and they may not.
That's right. Right before we went on the air, you mentioned something. I sensed a little bit of joy that you had over some of the recent Supreme Court decisions that have happened. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, just today. And, you know, I think we also need to see that there's news, new news every day that we can rejoice in.
Yes.
And it might just be in the news or whatever. But today, for instance, there was a Supreme Court decision that said that the state could not discriminate against a religious school for getting benefits of some kind of special safety coating on their playground to protect kids if they fall, and that it had been denied because this is a Lutheran school, and they said, no, that's discrimination. That has nothing to do with their message. And so it was a good victory for, I believe, for the Christian schools, that they can receive the benefits of the other schools. And then another interesting case was the Supreme Court just today has upheld part of the travel ban by President Trump, stating that it would not apply to people from these 7 countries who couldn't establish that they had a family relation with someone in the U.S. And so that seems to me to, you know, strike some kind of balance there, because something needs to be done, and they're going to hear the case in October to determine if the rest of the ban can stay. But they basically reverse the courts of appeals in part. And so I consider those both to be good news. And also it was interesting to see that the new justice seems to be taking conservative, I would say, pro-biblical views on a lot of issues in 3 or 4 opinions I just read that came down within the last week.
That's great. To me, those two cases you just mentioned, it just seems like common sense to me. But again, these lower courts came out with these rulings, and whether it made sense or not, had to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yeah. And Justice Gorsuch also dissented from a ruling that said that a homosexual couple could change their birth certificate to name the parents in accordance with the ruling about gay marriage. And so Gorsuch was one of the dissenting judges, said that they should have heard the case in full and not just had what's called a summary reversal. So the thing that we can be assured of is that for the believers, he makes all things beautiful in his time.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes 3:11. And we need to know this as business people, as mothers, as children, wherever we are, because you see, the beauty is something we're to experience now and not just hope maybe I'll see it in heaven.
Right. And I think that does tie into heaven. Joy now, which is a long-term goal. It's daily living, but it's also until the Lord comes to get us or he calls us home. Do you have some thoughts on how we can find joy in our work and in our relationship?
Well, if you look at your situation in life, if you're saved, that's more than you'll ever deserve.
Yes.
And it's something that really we don't deserve more than other people that are unsaved. So even just thinking about that, that's probably a source of more joy than we can imagine. But also that we've been given the Holy Spirit. He has a great plan for the use of our talents. And then looking at, say, on your job, that these talents have been given for us, that when we do a good job on our job, we are actually honoring the King.
Yes.
And helping expand the influence of the kingdom in a positive way, because everything we're doing really is for the Lord. It may seem like it's for the clients, and it is, but it's really for his honor. So we can make progress in giving him honor every day, although that doesn't mean I do it perfectly or that I don't need to repent, because I'm still a work in process.
I am too, and I think our listeners are also. What about worship? What can be the impact of personal and corporate worship as far as joy goes?
Well, in its presence is fullness of joy. It says in Psalm 16:11. Yeah. So, yes, we need to have the corporate worship, and that's important, but also the personal worship, the time when you can get alone without anybody there. It might be early in the morning, and really strive to be with him and hear his voice. That can become a time of great solace and peace and joy, especially when you're making decisions or you're going through something, or even just an ordinary day. Now, that doesn't mean I always hear his voice when I want to and, you know, as quick as I'd like. But I believe that this is the goal for us, as Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
And so we also can experience the joy in that this joy is to go out from us, not just to be taken and experienced by us. So when we share the Lord, even if someone rejects him, it's an experience of joy, sharing your testimony, how he changed your life.
Yeah, I think one of the keys, it's not about your circumstances.
No, it's not about your circumstances, because if the problem with circumstances is no matter what we have, eventually the thrill kind of fades, at least some, and no matter what the experience is, it's just reality, whether it's a new job, a new car, even money, even a marriage, whatever. And so the thrill of what happens at the very beginning doesn't last in the world's offers of thrills. They tend to come and go. And so we don't want to be just relying on that thrill where you become like an addict to it. Instead, sometimes there's real joy in suffering or in persecution. Have any of us been persecuted for our faith?
Yes, yeah, you're bringing to mind, and I've probably shared this before, it's just such an impact to me, is Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, in just such a dark place, beaten and chained and singing to the Lord because they had that joy and bearing fruit. Yeah.
I'm still learning to get into praise and worship, especially when I'm really not feeling joy.
Yes.
Because I think joy is partly an act of the will, that if you act as if you have reason to rejoice, even if you don't feel it, that eventually the feelings come around.
They do. They do.
But our feelings are not going to always feel joy.
No, we can't trust our feelings either.
They're good and we want them, but they are going to be uneven.
Yes, yes. I just had a conversation with a client today, a longtime client, and the husband was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh. How is he now?
In a very declining situation where he needs an emergency laryngectomy so that they can put a way in there so he can get a breathe. He cannot swallow.
Sad.
And they have joy.
Yep.
They have joy, and it's so humbling to hear people in those kind of circumstances just saying, you know, we're a living testimony of God's mercy and how good he is. And I think having that attitude is a choice. I think choosing to be joyful in tough circumstances is a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice, but we have to not let negative feelings control our life, because they're there. We have them. We don't want to ignore them. We want to deal with them. But they can become like a big stone that we're carrying on our back that's weighing us down.
Yes.
And then we have to say, by act of the will, no, I acknowledge these feelings, but I'm going to go to the fact. The facts are what's described in the Word of God.
Yes. Did you have another passage of Scripture you wanted to share on joy?
Well, you know, also too, joy is knowing that we have a Father that really cares about us even more than maybe even if we had a wonderful earthly father. Mm. And in John 16:24, it says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. So I think learn to ask him every day. But when we're asking him, I think we have to guard against too much of our requests being what we're going to receive.
Yes.
Although we need to say those requests, and they should be part of it, even 50%. But I think to then also be asking, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Because our doing for him, although we can never repay him for all he's given us, it's kind of our offer of a gift back to him.
Yes.
And a relationship needs give and receiving. And I think it's easy to fall into God being like a vending machine, where all we do is just put the request in and ask him to deliver. but not, Lord, okay, now what do you want me to do? What can I do for you? What can I give to you? And I think the give and take makes it a more authentic relationship where he's communicating with us more, because he's not going to say, no, I have nothing for you to do. I don't want you to do anything. Just receive me. No, he does want us to receive him, but there's a purpose for us each day.
Yes.
And he'll guide and direct us.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving is an important piece of the puzzle. That attitude of gratitude really, I think, helps to build our joy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, I have many people I know that are unsaved. I often think, well, now, why am I receiving this great blessing? And it doesn't appear to me that they are. And I can't really adequately answer that question. I didn't deserve it more than anyone.
Yes. And I've observed this over the years. I don't know if you have. It just seems like some people have a dark cloud over them, believers or unbelievers, where just bad stuff just seems to happen to them.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I'll say, Lord, why? I'm thankful that that's not fallen on me, but why it seemed like certain people, I guess God's the only one who really, in his sovereignty, who he understands all that.
Can't really answer that question, because, you know, dealing with the people you do and the mm-hmm. people I do, mm-hmm. that there are people definitely who we would not trade places with.
Amen. Amen.
Really, and there's many, and so I've probably already been given more than I could ever justify. But then I also want to then maybe somehow bless people that don't even bless me back.
Yes.
And that's what's hard for me, because I'm not as good at that as I'd like to be. But to bless the people who maybe are not even being very loving to you, or even kind of ignoring you, still try to be a blessing to them. It's a challenge. I'm still learning.
Jesus challenged his disciples, and certainly us in the Word, to bless even our enemies. I mean, giving stuff and parties for your friends, anybody can do that. But for those that maybe have said something against you or outside of your circle, that's a challenge.
Yeah, it really is. Or else learning how to really forgive, which is another thing I'm still learning.
Yes.
But asking people who have hurt you how you can bless them,
mm-hmm.
because they're out there.
They are. So we've touched on some things that can, I think, increase our awareness of joy. Can you think of some joy killers, some things that we should try to avoid that are traps that are set up by the enemy or by our own selfish desires that can kill our joy?
Well, I think it kills our joy if we don't be generous.
Mm.
And I believe we should be giving away. You know, this is another joy killer, is if I'm always looking at what I don't have.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I'm looking at what I consider to be an unmet need, and, you know, we can all probably find a thorn in the flesh or two where it's like, well, Lord, it would be good if this would change, and it may or may not ever change.
Yes.
And also a complaining spirit. If you look at the lesson from Exodus and the Pentateuch about the complaining of the Israelites, that was the main reason they had to spend 40 more years wandering, because the complaining spirit was an unbelieving spirit. So I want to be careful, because I've sinned in this area. I want to be careful that I can vent maybe some, but after a certain point, talking about some things can develop a complaining spirit, and I think that will definitely kill joy.
Yes.
It'll also, I believe, probably keep blessings from coming into our life.
I would agree. There's certainly that, I call it like that tape recording, that's those thoughts that are just always running through your head. And if they tend to be complaining and negative and that kind of outlook, it's a feedback loop that continues to happen. And I think that can certainly rob us of joy.
We're also taking in too much of the world's knowledge. So for instance, I found that limiting my TV
mm-hmm.
actually was good, because so much of it now is a tax on people who hold certain values.
Yes.
Whether it's Congress and the president or whatever. And so I've just limited my TV, and it's actually helped, because I think there's a lot of things out there disguised as journalism that's really advocacy.
Yes.
They're advocating a certain viewpoint, and it's not objective. They're not showing both sides or whatever, and you're seeing more and more of that.
Yeah, and if we're really looking at the church, the body of Christ, I think gossip can also be detrimental. It can be presented as a prayer request for sister or brother so-and-so, so it sounds good and holy, but it's really just gossip and things that we should not be getting involved in. That's what I've seen anyway.
Yeah, and I have to be careful about that too, because, or instead, just following the scripture that says if you've got a dispute with somebody, go right to that person privately and work it out, and not to other people. It's something that I believe if it was done more, there'd be a lot less stress out there.
That is for sure. I was just chatting with our associate pastor on Sunday, and he said that's his default now. You know, somebody comes to him, did you go to the person?
Yeah.
You know, that should be our default. And most of the time, when you do, it can be worked out. There are those cases, and scripture gives us instruction, but I would say in the majority of cases, if you go to the person and your brothers or sisters in Christ, you can probably work it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that we're called to have the joy now.
Yes.
And we're preparing for heaven.
Yes.
We're not going to get the full joy of heaven because there will be trials here, but we're practicing for citizenship there.
Yes.
And the joyful state of mind is what we'll have in heaven. It'll be perfect joy.
Yeah, part of our Father's business is the joy business. And I think that's so important to realize what biblical joy is, as opposed to the deception of the world saying, buy this, do this, marry that person, leave this person, then you'll be happy. Those are the traps we can fall into. But Michael, we're rolling along here at a pretty good pace. And again, I just want to let people know how they can get in touch with you, and maybe you could just briefly share some areas of the law that you can help people out with if they have some issues and need an attorney, either in our area of Philadelphia or out in Colorado.
Well, I want to just encourage people that for each one of them, there's a calling God has on your life, and really spend time to seek that and fulfill it. And if you do, you're never going to regret it on your deathbed. And that's for each person, not just those who are clergy or whatever. But my law practice is one where I represent businesses as general counsel in a variety of matters. And I also do major trials, primarily in the areas of personal injury, civil rights, business, and estates. And I do all kinds of estate work and wills and trusts. And I'm trying to be the kind of lawyer I would want to go to if I was a member of the public out there. Someone who's trustworthy, who's going to educate the client and help them make good decisions. I can be reached at area code 215-564-4000. And we return phone calls.
That's
and
great.
Many times there's people who call and we give them advice and they never become clients. But we're here to basically help people to become educated so that they can really know what law applies and make a decision that's in their best interest.
Great. And then your website's also lawintegrity.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
Very good. Before we wrap up today, do you have a scripture to leave with us? Something that people to chew on as they go about their Saturday morning?
Yeah, this is a scripture that deals with this issue of joy. And this is a Phillips version of a scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:10 and 7:4. And basically how Phillips translates it is that serious joy makes it possible for us to live inside a simultaneous juxtaposition of sorrowing and rejoicing. So just because you're in sorrow or going through pains or struggles does not mean that you can't at the same time be experiencing joy.
It almost sounds impossible, but we know that all things are possible.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Well, thanks again for being my guest. Thanks again to all of our listeners, to The Balanced Life here on WFYL, 1180 AM. That's the station that's fighting for your liberty and things that matter. Thank you to WFYL. Thank you to Russell here in the studio. Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope and pray that your work, your life, and your business bear good and lasting fruit. And I hope you have a blessed and a balanced day.
If you are in need of an attorney that offers experienced help with integrity and professionalism, contact Michael Considine. Michael serves his clients in areas of business, real estate, personal injury, civil rights, wrongful death, along with wills and probates of estates. Deal with a knowledgeable attorney who is attentive to his clients and looks out for their best interests and will give the best counsel that is right for each client. For an initial conversation or to schedule a consultation, contact Michael at 215-564-4000. That's 215-564-4000.